Amen. Well, this morning we're going to have fun. We have fun every morning, but this morning we're going to have fun. On the way over here, God led me to shift gears. He does this all the time. I said this to my wife yesterday. I said, you know, it doesn't matter how much I study. I can study. I have pages of notes that I take all the time as I do studies. God doesn't tend to care about what you want to do. He has his plan. And since he's the boss, you get to just obey. I've done the don't do it, try to do it your own way. And it doesn't work as well as you might think, especially if what you're trying to do is give people what God's saying to you, because what he'll do is stop saying things to you, and then you'll be in front of people. I've done this, guys, with thousands of people out there and went dry. And I didn't have enough Christianese. I call it Christianese. It's when people, Christians can Christian babble, but they pretend it's Christian just because it's Christian-y stuff that they're saying, but it's just the Christian. We have all heard it. You probably went to a friend at some time and they gave you some Christian babble and you're like, but that didn't help me at all. Like, all that made me do is be mad at you and for some reason at the Bible because of you're using it wrong. Like, why do you do, we do it. In the weirdest times too, we create weirdos out of ourselves, unfortunately to the world. Make the whole world think you're weird. It makes the whole world think somehow God's weird and God isn't the weird. I've been in church a lot of years, guys. Since I was 2 years old, I've been in church and I've watched weird people in church. There's weird people out there. I've been out there too. But I've watched some weird people in church that you wouldn't want to hang out with. Like, it, I don't care how good and brotherly love you are. If they invited you to their house, you'd be like, I'm busy. What day did you want me to come? I'm busy that day. Every one of those, in fact. I'm very busy those days. But this morning, we're going to get into the Word, and we're going to study, and we're going to hear about something that God shifted the gears into this morning. And so go into John 11, and we're going to start in 1, and we're just going to read till we get to where God wants us to stop. I don't suggest doing that. Like I said, I remember the feeling. It's awkward when you're in front of thousands of people and you don't have a word to say and you decided you didn't want to obey the thing God said to go do, and then you're just standing there and there's thousands waiting for you to say something, and you wave and you're, hey everybody, and we really greet you guys, you know. That's rough. I've done it. I don't suggest it. And this morning, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to just obey, and when God says it, he's going to say it and do it.
Yeah, amen.
Now, it says this. There was a certain man that was sick. I want to take a second real quick. My wife said about the praise and worship team, they know how much I hate just... I like recorded music when it's by myself, but for church, I need... I'm a live music kind of person. I've planted... praise and worship teams in other people's churches. I've been to their church several times. They had recorded music, and I was like, no, we can't be doing this for, you know, every time I come and visit you and do a conference. We need live music. So we took, like, an entire team worth of instruments there and then took people to teach their people how to play instruments. You know, Johnny's never played drums before. He just hopped up there and is playing drums, never had a lesson. I have no sympathy for him because I had to do the same thing when they had the issue in the North Church, you know, many, whatever, decades ago, they said, my mom said, our drummer just quit today, and I was like, I'll do it. She's like, you ever drum? I'm like, no, but I can do it, I'm sure. I did it for, I think, 6 or 8 years. I'm not saying you have to do that, Johnny, but I'm proud of it. My wife doesn't play piano. She's been teaching herself just to be able to get through it. Everybody here is having to stretch themselves. Rebecca, I remember when I went to your house, and I can play all these instruments pretty well. No, I'm not bragging. I just mean I can play them all pretty well. I played 20-some instruments. I can play instruments. I just can't play them at the same time I'm getting a message together, and I certainly can't play them all at once. I'm pretty good, but I'm not that good. Now we'll get back into the Word. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, in their towns, Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, if you remember, the same Mary that anointed the Lord Jesus. If you remember with the oil, the disciples didn't like that. That's real expensive oil. What do you think you're doing? And she anointed, do you remember? You may not have read it, but you can go read it later. They anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. This is where we're getting a little backstory on who is this Lazarus and why do we care about this guy and what's happening. Why does this matter to Jesus? This is why the Bible kind of paints the picture here for us, and you'd go back and you'd read about what had happened. Therefore, this is the same brother of this Mary who's sick, and we know this wasn't a little sick because if you read the little thing in the top of it where it describes what's going to happen in that chapter, you see, wait a second, I read the end of the story already. He's dead. So this is a dead guy story. And this is what happens. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, big H him, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, this is very important, everybody. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. They brought a problem to God. You've all done this. God gives them a word. You've all gotten one. I guarantee you, you've all gotten one. If you've ever opened up the Bible, Hagin used to say, if this is the word of God. Yeah. So when you want to hear God speak to you, there's a lot of Christians still today going, well, I just haven't heard the audible voice shake the walls. Listen, if you need to hear an audible voice shake the walls, you won't enjoy that time. Like, you won't, don't think you're going to be like, oh, what an amazing, no, you will be on your face. Yeah. It will shake your life. You may not come out of the room for a couple days. Like, it is not, you don't want, audible means something bad is either about to happen or you're about to go to Nineveh. Like, and if you think Nineveh's awesome, read the story of Jonah just a little bit.
Come on.
I'm just saying. You want to hear God's voice, though?
Yeah.
Get the word of God, open it up, and read it out loud, and there you're hearing his voice.
Come on.
Does it mean God doesn't speak to you? No, that's not what I said. God speaks to you all the time. Half the time, you're just deaf. I'm just saying, you want to start hearing the voice of God? Here's how you start.
Yes.
You just audible. Dr. George Evans used to say that, you know, prayer has a voice, and so does the word of God, if you'll give it a voice. I've never had my Bible speak to me off of the shelf. Have you? No. This thing doesn't talk no matter how good a Bible you have. It doesn't talk. You got to give it a voice.
Yes.
We're all willing to do the first part, though. We'll give sickness, disease, disaster, calamity, destruction. We'll give politics and the current state of society a voice, but we don't like to give God one.
On.
You're welcome. I love you, too. No, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. This is the same thing God is still telling us today when we have a problem, when we bring it to him. You know why? Because he's already prepared for you the answer, the solution. He already has a way out for you. He's already, you hear what I'm saying? He's been there before you even had the problem. And Christians go to him in desperation, and God's going to you like, what are you so worried about? You don't think I saw this? I saw you before the foundations of the earth, but you didn't think I saw just past your birth. Like, I stopped there. I just saw that you existed. I didn't see the rest of what was going to happen, and I have nothing prepared. You know, even though I say I know the plans, I don't know them. This is the way I think God would act if he was the way that we are. Thank God he isn't.
Yes. Amen.
But it's the way he would act if he was like us when people ask him for things. God, this just happened. And he's like, this just in. I've been there before. The foundations of the earth. I've been there after. This is where the Alpha Omega comes into play. I've seen this whole thing. I've already had a plan going. It's going to be okay. And Jesus spends a lot of time. Go read the New Testament, especially the Gospels. Go read them again, thinking Jesus has to deal with people. Half of us don't work in customer service because we're not good at it. He has to work with people, and he's God. He already knows. How much of the time is he telling people it's going to be okay? Calm down. It's going to be all right. I've spent decades counseling people trying to convince them of the same thing. It will be okay. You know, as a matter of fact, you're your biggest problem. If you'll stop being the way you are, your life might turn out great.
Yeah.
You know, get out of your own way.
Come on.
Yeah, I love you too. I know. Luckily, I'm not afraid of people. He said, this sickness is not unto death. This is the same thing he's telling you. Your finances are not unto death. They're not going to go down to the toilet. Your work situation is not unto death. Your personal situation is not unto death. Your marriage is not unto death. Sometimes it feels like it's going on to death, but it isn't going on to death. You know, it should not.
Yeah.
Your worry situation, that stress situation, that health situation is not unto death.
Yeah.
Well, God's still trying to tell us that today through the word, right? Jesus is still saying it. But what we believe is kind of what we've experienced. If you've ever had a headache and asked God, please take the headache away, and then the headache didn't go away, you learned something. Whether you like it or not, you learned something, and you learned, well, God didn't show up. No, we don't. We'd never, no, we wouldn't. Who would ever even think that? Yeah, none of you might admit it, but everybody here, listen to what I just said, everybody here has at one point in their life blamed God for something, especially something stupid, especially something natural, because that's what we do. You know how many times I've heard people say, we had a tornado come at my house, and there was a bunch of people saying, God brought the tornado. You know, God sent this storm. And I was thinking to myself, what kind of God? Every good and perfect gift and tornadoes. I don't even remember that in the Bible when it said that. like in hurricanes. Like, no, God's not sending them. Like, let me just bowl that at the shore and wipe out as many as I can take out. You know, some good people are going to go. But no, this isn't the way God is. Every good and but people still believe Job over God. You know, you got all the New Testament there of Jesus saying things, and they still believe Job. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That was a guy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, go read the story. He wasn't doing great. Every good and perfect gift taketh away. God describes it even more clearly. He says, no, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not me. We still say it. God took them from us. No, God might have them, but he didn't take them. God didn't send the tornado. Oh, then it's that rascally devil. Well, if the devil could do it, you'd be dead. If he could send if the devil could send tornadoes, they'd be everywhere. Tomorrow morning, every Christian's house would have a tornado. I don't know why we think this way. We just still, we blame. There's a thing called nature, guys. You're alive, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, God made it and created it and put it into motion. He still has authority over it.
Yep.
But it's alive.
Yeah.
It's functioning.
Yeah.
You can there's science exists because you can test it.
Come on.
You understand?
Yeah.
You can go take water and evaporate it, and it actually does that every time. You live in Florida, you're probably breathing it half of the time. Let's keep moving. Now, Jesus loved, it says that he loved him. He's telling him that God's going to be glorified. If you read this verse, then you read the rest of the chapter, and then go back and read this verse, you're like, it's like he knew the whole time. Like, yeah, he told him everything there, and he does this all the time. You get this feeling Jesus could be like, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to come back, and they're going to be like, good story, Jesus. He literally, if you go and read the last accounts, he's trying to tell them. And they're just like, phew. It's like what we do. I'm telling you, Christians are real good at, we will Christianize something so well. I tell people it's like the Matrix dodge. We will dodge the thing that'll help us the best, like it's bullets flying, and we're out of this Christianizing it to no end. We will Christianize why we can't go and help somebody because they're not Christian enough.
Oh, come on.
The high and mighty Christian, you know how good they are. You always want to be friends with those ones because they're better than you at everything. They know more than you. They're the people that are going to try and intimidate you with how much Bible they've memorized, yet they would shock you at how little Bible they do. They do for me anyway. They're very good memorizers. They're very terrible at living it out most of the time. I'm not against Bible memorization. I'm just telling you there is a Christian religious practice that's so religious. We lose relationship, we lose the connection, we lose the life. Where's the power of God? Where's the last time you stayed there and you were just quiet before God? Because I see you can be a big mouth, but what about quiet? Like, you don't seem to stop talking, but what about quiet? What about be still and no? I mean, we still want our kids to do that. Just be still and quiet. My mom used to tell us at the table, you know, in my day, kids weren't spoken to, and kids wouldn't speak unless they were spoken to. Like, I remember, you probably heard that, Rebecca. You grew up in the same kind of, unless you're spoken to, you don't speak. And so those little kids were like, well, what do we do when she leaves the room? We're all just going to be mutes. Like, you have to wait for an adult to come in? Let's keep going. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is all of them. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. This does not sound like the guy who loves them. Like, DJ, you're not feeling good. Your mom says, DJ's sick to the point of death. And I go, gotcha. Well, I love DJ. I'm going to stay here a couple days. You see what I'm saying? Like, you call me with an SOS, I'm stuck on the side of the road, and I'm like, well, I care enough about you to stay here a couple days. Then I'm going to mosey my direction towards yours. That's not what you want to hear when you're bringing this news, is it?
No.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, this is the same thing we do. We pray to God like we're my dad used to say, like the Adams family, we ring the U-ring. We want him to come and lurch in and just do the thing we want. Like, God, this is, you obviously had no idea this was going to be on the table. Do this now. I need this right now. Move. And then when God says, I'm just going to wait here a couple days, we just get all kinds of frustrated. We build up a wall of anti-God stuff going on. We don't admit it. No, we don't do that. Not until you've quit. That's when people normally, I've watched people quit. It's when people quit. You ever heard the phrase burn a bridge? When they're on the way out, oh, they're all brass and strong and bold and, aren't they?
Yeah,
because they don't ever want to come back in there again. It's not until the eat humble pie, that's another phrase people have. That's when you get to come back and be like, oh, I can't get a job anywhere else if there's any chance that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I've been on both sides. It's not good to be on the one. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days, this is important, in the place where he was. This is part of trust me, everybody. I've got this under control. This is what God's still trying to do. I'm not crazy, everybody. I see society. I see what's going on in the world. If you see what's going on in the political scene and in society and what's going on in the youth culture nowadays, you should be a little concerned too, okay? You shouldn't be blind to it and go, there's nothing wrong here. Nothing wrong here. No, there's major things wrong here. But God is still God. That's the whole point I'm getting at. He's still actually God. He's beyond time. He's beyond here. He's bigger than your situation. He's always had the answers, and with him, anything is possible. So once you start believing that, believe what he said, not the fact that he might sit there for a couple days on your deal, because we get that. You know, if you've been battling something for any amount of time, I tell people, you hold your hand out like this, all of us can do this, but you do this for about a day. I mean, you won't do this for a day. In an hour, you'll be here.
Yeah.
And your arm will feel dead. The longer you do something, even though it didn't get bigger, it seems bigger. The longer you face a problem, you know, you're in a marriage and you've been in a marriage for 20 years, you don't anymore even have a hope. You just go, well, that's who they are and I'm willing to live with it. Mm. It's true. It's true. Yeah, I love you too. So 2 more days, and he stays in the same place where he was. And after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. If you're a disciple and you know anything about the story of Jesus, you know where Judea was, and they describe that to him immediately, not at some point in time, right away. It's the next words. The disciples say to him, Rabbi, lately, in case you've forgotten, obviously you haven't gotten enough sleep lately, Jesus, the Jews sought to stone you. Do you remember that? I just want to point out it's in the direction of where you were just saying where we needed to go, and you said, let's go back there, and we barely got out of there.
Yeah.
Just making this, I want you to, same thing you'd say, like, you know, I've had teams where I've taken them down into Mexico, and when we went to Mexico, they didn't have the brightest, shiniest time. They got to experience what eating dog was like, a little bit of a gamey flavor. Yeah, I know, same thing. I didn't go on that team. I was working in the one town. They went into Oaxaca, and they ate dog at an orphanage that was there, and the rest of the team was like, oh, there was still hair on stuff, and I was like, well, guys, welcome to the missions field. You know, I've been there. But if I said, let's go back to Mexico, they'd be like, you know what? Is there another trip you were thinking of? Somewhere in Europe. Like, maybe not Mexico this time. I had one of the guys, side note, in Mexico I tell the people, as much as when you travel around the world, don't drink the water here unless you're going to be here for a while. This is the way it goes most of the world, if you didn't know this, because there's certain things, bacteria and things in their water that they're fine with because they live there, but you would not be, especially if you go place to place. Like, if you travel around the world regularly, you're probably fine because your whole body's been exposed to a bunch of stuff and you have the immunities and you're going to be able to do it. I would drink water in places where other people would be like, don't drink the water. And I'm like, I'm fine. I go around plenty, trust me. But in Mexico, even the people there that are the Mexicans from that place are like, don't drink the water. Like, right? So I told the team beforehand, because we weren't ignorant of this, don't drink the water when you're there. So we're all there. And nobody's drinking water, bottled water, bottled water, bottled water. And I was in the bathroom with one of the guys who then was also in the bathroom for many days after this. But I was in the bathroom, and I'm brushing my teeth, pouring bottled water on it. And he has his under the spout, and I'm like, don't drink the water, bottled water. You got a toothbrush underneath the spout that you're sticking in your mouth. What? And he's looking at me with the bottled water being like, uh-oh. Like, I've been drinking this water, haven't I? Yes, you have. It doesn't go well, but this is the same way that they would say to me, same way, if I was like, let's go back to Mexico tomorrow, they'd be like, wait, a rabbi, you know, you might not remember this, I spent most of that trip in the hut. Lately, the Jews sought to stone you, and we're going there again? Is that what you're saying? Actually, they didn't even say that, they said, and you're going there again? Like, where are you sending us? Because you're not sending us there. We don't have the intention to necessarily have to go with you to do, you're going there? You are. We are what? They're saying this very clearly. And Jesus says, and this is a strong rebuke. I love it. And it's also very powerful. Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in a day, He does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Now, he's not talking about the day, guys. He's not, but he is explaining it in a way that we'll all understand. Most of us have probably woken up at night, had to go to the bathroom and kick something we didn't realize was there. And you hear it because the sound of death enters the room. And everybody else that's in the room is like, what's killing you? And you're like, apparently a small appendage can kill you. I've been shot. This hurts worse. Like, immediately, this is the only thing in my whole huge body that I can think of is the little teeny, I say this to people because it's real, everybody, it's real. You kick something with your toe, that little thing that's insignificant, you shove it into shoes that are too small, that little thing, all of a sudden, you kick something with it, it's the biggest part of your body. You feel the heartbeat in your brain from your toe. I mean, it's not, I've kicked things before and been sure it was much worse. I was on a skateboard once. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I was going down a sidewalk, and my dad thought it would be cool to put toe breakers all along, I mean, big stones all along the sidewalk for decoration, and the skateboard slid out of under me, and my foot went right into a stone, and it broke my little toe, and I thought, this has got to be the worst pain a human could feel, and it doesn't go away. Now, I found out later there's worse ones. You know, if you get shot, it hurts, but it doesn't hurt like a toe getting slammed into something. Not right away. It's aftermath of being shot. If you get stabbed, it hurts. It burns. But I've been stabbed before where I didn't realize I was stabbed. I only realized I was stabbed when I was beat in the face of the guy who had stabbed me, and the knife fell out of my shoulder. And I was like, you stabbed me? Like, now. Like, I was going to hurt you, but now, pray to God. I wasn't in a good spot then. That wasn't a Christian. This isn't, if I do a let me pray for you this morning thing, I won't be jumping on you to beat you. And I expect you not to stab me. All my friends. So, he's saying, in the daytime, you're not going to stumble because you see the light. In other words, when God is there on your situation, you're going to see it. You're going to notice that it's there. It says in Psalms 119, there will be no stumbling block set before him to him who loves the law. You're going to see the stumbling block. You're going to move around the thing because the light's there, and you're not going to fall on your face. Falling on your face is funny to other people. It's not so funny to you if you've ever been the person doing it. And he says this, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. That's when you start to realize, like, wait a second. When's the last time that we ate our Lightios? Oh, wait a second, he's not talking about light like we're thinking about light, because he just said in him. There's something else going on here. There's something deeper Jesus is trying to tell you, and this is important for us, because if the light's not in you, guys, you're going to go based on the natural law, like 9 times out of 10, probably 10 out of 10 is most of our history, of the way we deal with things. This is the way it looks. This is the way I've seen things. This is what happens. If you get sick, I said this to Ernesto, I said, you believe you have faith. Now, what happens if somebody across the intersection here, we were walking down the side of the street, I said, what happens if somebody gets in an accident and they get decapitated? Do you still have faith that person could get raised from the dead? I've prayed for people to get raised from the dead before when they were dying of a sickness and died, or passed away from like things that weren't a decapitation. It's a little bit hard to be like, somebody get some duct tape, we're going to just hold this thing on there, and then we're,
yeah.
Where's your faith? At what level do you lose your faith that God can do a miracle that shouldn't be able to be done? I remember that time I said in the beginning where I was in front of thousands of people and didn't have a thing to say? That's that time when there was a girl there who looked super messed up, and she was sitting like, you know, like where my wife is sitting, except imagine a giant two-tier theater area, and God said, go pray for her, and there was no way to her. It was like a 5-foot cliff off the edge of the stage, and stairs were way on the sides, and I'm like, God, this is impractical. I've never been to this church. It's my first time out of country preaching. Like, it's not the right time to have me go. It's the beginning of the service. Wait till, don't you even know altar calls come at the end? Like, God doesn't know the order of service here. You know, he just thinks he's the boss. He right away, go pray for her. This girl was the most messed up, and I don't mean that in a, I mean that in a, you could see her scalp through her hair because of the swollen up head, the missing an arm, the being in a wheelchair, who knows why, she was, out of everybody that was there, she was the one who had the most problems. So, like, what do you even pray for? The headache? You know, sure, it wasn't a sprained ankle. She was in a wheelchair. Like, what do I even do, God? He didn't say that. He just said, go pray for her. And I was like, no.
Come on.
And even though it was right in the beginning, this is the third time I'd ever preached, I was like, no. And God was like, all right, and that's what I'm going to do with the rest of what you're going to say. And that's when I was just felt like an idiot in front of thousands of people. I just was dumbfounded. Nothing to say. Empty. And I Christianized it the best I could as a newbie. And now I'm pretty good at it, but I get worried if I catch myself Christianizing. If I start talking just Christian talk to talk it, I shut myself up. Because I don't even like it, guys. Do you like it? No, you don't. Anyway, I had to go out of my way to go pray for that girl. If you know the story, I had to make myself, and I tried to make it look as nonchalant, not what I was doing as I could possibly do. Not big man of faith, not come up here, and she floated up. That wasn't what happened. I went around, I said we greet you from America, the church back there greets you. I'd only been really saved for a few months at this time. I went from really terrible human being to barely saved, and now I'm in church, and I was only speaking because you couldn't shut me up, so people would be like, well, he's going to speak anyway. And this guy's church that I was speaking at, the only reason I was even there, this was in Belarus, the only reason I was there is because the day I got turned around, it was that pastor's daughters who were out of country at the house I was going to go see them, and when I got revival in their driveway from God speaking to me, they got revival in the house. Amen. And we spent the whole night listening to Shout to the Lord from Hillsongs, which was the only thing we could grab that was a Christianese song. And we laid on the floor of that and prayed all night, and they got lit. Amen. And they were so excited that they told their father, and they were there for months as we built up a large youth group of people. They were there for a large period of time as they saw God's revival hit that area. And they went and told their father, so he said, you got to have them preach. And my dad said, no. Like, you know, 2 weeks ago, we pulled our sound guy through the window and shoved his face in the thing. Like, he's not the guy you want preaching yet. He needs, like, a couple years of cooling off before you put him in front of people. Like, he's still, he's got a lot of world still on the edges. Like, not a little bit. He's more like a block. You want him to do something smooth. He's not smooth. And then they left me. My parent abandoned me. You know, that's what I always tell them. You left me. You took the pastor at church, and you went to some other churches of theirs and left me at the mother church with everybody. And I'm this new... Like, I knew the price of drugs on the street because I had people selling them. I knew, not then, before I got turned around, I knew all kinds of worldly connections and numbers. I could remember them. Like, you remember the number when people used to have numbers or phone numbers for everybody that's under 40. There actually are numbers associated with people, not faces. You don't just click their face and it calls them. We used to have to remember them. Well, anyway, so I was there, and I was in that church, and I was standing up there, and I was dry because I didn't believe. And when I went down and prayed for that girl, I still acted like a man of no faith about it, even though I was only there because of faith. I was completely turned around because of faith. I really did believe God could do anything. But in that moment, this is what I'm trying to explain to you. In that moment, I didn't believe God could use me to do that thing. We still get there because we all want to go through Bible school. I've been through a couple. I've been through many years of it, and what I can tell you is, you have a Bible, study it. There's nothing wrong with going to Bible school anymore, and there is wrong with going to any school, but if I could take it over again and do it, I would just do what I did outside of that, which is study at the feet of the men and women who have learned before me and go hear the stuff that they've learned. Save you a lot of time. You don't get a fancy degree, but I learned a lot from just chasing after the fathers and the mothers and the faith, more so than I ever did in the Bible school. I'm just being honest. I think Bible school is great, but getting a little degree, saying you learned Bible, does not make you anointed. It does not make you a carrier of God even. It just makes you somebody who has a degree and has learned something. Anyway, I did go down. I did pray for her. I did take the mic down when I prayed for her. I didn't want anybody hearing what I was saying. It was very short, and I leaned on her shoulder like I was taking a break. I didn't want anybody knowing what was going on, because you don't want to pray for Mrs. Looks terribly sick and broken and say anything bold and then have nothing happen in front of thousands of people. And I remember leaning on her and taking the mic down and just as fast as I could, behold, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I obeyed, you know, whew, clear. That girl got healed, and it changed thousands of people's lives. I didn't even get to see the healing because I turned my back to her so quick to walk to the stage. And it wasn't until the ushers, I tell people, I'll never forget what happened, because their usher people charged me from their seats. They ran at me. And so much so, this is what I did. Because I thought, I'm taking some of you. You're going to get me. You got thousands. You're going to get me. But I'm taking some of you. Like, if you've ever been in one of those, I'm like, the first two guys you're in trouble. Like, I'm not a baby fighter. I've been fighting for a lot. I'm taking something, breaking something. things are going to go bad. And I did this, like, you know, mic in one hand, I'm just like this. And they charged me, and then they ran around me, and they grabbed arms with each other, and they made this big circle. And I remember sitting there being like, this is the weirdest church event I've ever seen happen. What kind of weird church did I get into? Ushers are doing this weird thing. And I first turned because the sound of like thunder was in that place, was all the little movie theater style seats flipping up from thousands of them. Everybody stood up. And the whole place was like shaking. And then they started running. Everybody was coming down the aisles. It looked like human waterfall. Like if you were pouring people over chairs. People were coming over chairs. People were coming down the sides. They were just, nobody, I was like, did I have an altar call? Did I call you people up here? Like, what do you think you're doing? You didn't have a choice. They were just coming. And that little girl came walking through the ushers and hugged my leg. And I was thinking, this girl can't be walking through these ushers. This girl doesn't look like the same girl with her head, with her hair, with her, how does she have arms wrapped around my leg? And I was out of it from there for the rest of the night. And I prayed for thousands of people. It took me hours. I never did preach. But what I'm telling you is, I'll never forget the moment when I realized God could do something that was well beyond what I even believed he would do. Because he's beyond you. He's beyond what you think. He's beyond what you may have experienced. Yeah, you don't have to believe in him for him to be. You don't have to believe he's a healer for him to be a healer. You don't have to believe in miracles for miracles to be real. You can be a big fake Christian. You might have a lot of Christian-y stuff. You might even be able to quote me some Bible verses or have them on your house. And you might be so religious that you don't know what to do with yourself. You may find yourself counting beads when you don't mean to count beads. I'm just not religious. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to be closer to the one who can do real things. I want to be closer to one that can shape and change the world. Touch the hearts of men. This is what we want. We need that. If you don't have that, all you have is the know about something that happened. And then all this is a story to you. I have news for you. You can go to Israel. I've been there. And you can see grave after grave after grave after grave with big stones that have a trench. And they've been rolled into those trenches to cover up the hole to keep them safe from grave robbers. You can see them all over the place. You can go to this place where Lazarus was and see rock and stone and go, oh, this actually happened? Yeah, it actually happened. We better hurry up and read. I don't feel like we're stopping yet. We're going to close somehow, and I don't know how we're going to do it because we're not stopping yet. I'm not even going to act like I'm worried about it. But in verse 11, we're going to keep going. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Again, does it sound like Jesus is afraid?
No.
Is he worried?
No.
You think that he's sitting there battling that fight of faith? I don't know if God will do it. Guys, that's not what faith is.
No.
If somebody comes up to your house and they say, hey, this is my house. You go, hey, it's weird, it's my house. No, I own it. Well, my stuff's in it. I've lived here for a long time and I have a deed that says it's mine. Would you be really concerned if we might lose our house this week, honey? That weird guy Bill came to the door and he keeps saying it's his. Like, no, you have a lot of proof that's your house. Faith is the assurance of and the evidence of it is your proof in something you don't see yet. So when you have faith, you're not going to be shaken because you have proof. You have a deed to your land. It's, no, this is mine. You better let me finish. The disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. This is the same thing you'd say if God was like, we're going to go work all day today. You know, when I was young, I had a weird experience being young. I grew up old school, just old school enough, I worked on a farm. I didn't live by one. I lived in the city of Chicago, where my dad was a fireman. But he thought it would be cool if he could send me out to a place that was an old-timey farm. It's a place you can go look it up yourself. It's called Klein Creek Farm. And they do old-timey stuff in old-timey ways. No, like, fancy modern things. You had to dress the part. We had to be there before the sun got up. There's a time in the day that's before the sun actually is up. And they still call it day. And they drop us off then, and then we would work from that time till after the sun wasn't there anymore. That's a day of work. Now, if somebody said you were going to go do that, you'd find your reasons too. Oh, if he's just sleeping, oh, he's going to get better. You already said it before. I remember you said it. He's going to be okay. He's just sleeping. Why wake him? Somebody else could wake him. Send a message. There's people that want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Come on.
Ask your kid to go clean their room, and you're going to hear the same story just their way. I would. Oh, my leg, though. You know? It's an old war injury. You're five. It was a Lego war. I laid on it. I'm telling you, this is what the disciples are doing. They're throwing their little, Jesus, you can go if you really want to wake him up. But, you know, maybe let him sleep. When we woke you in the boat, it wasn't so great for us. You yelled at us, let him sleep. He'll be fine. If he's sleeping, surely he's going to. they thought he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. And Jesus said to them plainly, I love this. This is the way that when you break news to people, this is the bomb. Lazarus is dead. This is one of the things I love about Jesus, too, because he's not like a lot of us. He doesn't mince words. He's not there trying to take a word and break it into smaller words to feed you a bunch of small ones and see what they can do. My wife's really good with words. That's why I tell husbands most of the time in counsel, don't get into a vocal battle with your spouse. They're better than you are at it. You might have louder words. They're going to have more of them. They dice them up. They can throw them. They can play with words the way you might know how to play with tools in your toolbox. Your spouse can play with words, and she'll find the ones. You'll be like, I got a strong defense, and she'll be like, 5 years ago, and you're like, oh, ah, like around the back, I didn't see that. I'm just warning you. I'm giving you a heads up. Don't do it. If you have to go, one of the things guys are really good at when they get mad is get in my car and, what was that? That was my words. That's the best I got. I got grunts, I got rrr, and then that. That's why men like loud engines. I'm sorry, guys, I'm ruining it for all of the... That's why, because we... Our gear. I don't know what to say! Another thing that would shock women, we don't sit there talking to ourselves. We don't even have the words for that. We're just... Sorry. I only know the guy's side of the bus. I'm going to have my wife do something at some point to throw the women under, but I only know our side. And I'm glad for your sakes, this is how he follows us up. He's dead. Like, guys, he's dead. Get the point already. Like, we're going, in other words. Pack your stuff. This is my wife trying to get the kids in the car. Where's your shoes? Do we really have to go? Get your shoes on. Get in the car. Dad doesn't do it the same way. My kids have more of a fear of God or a fear of Dad in me. I don't know which one it is, but they definitely have it. So when I'm like, get in the car, they're already in there. They might be in boxers, but they'll be in the car. My wife's the one that cares about, like, do you have clothes on? Where's your shoes? We better keep reading. He says plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, you might read that and go, why in the world is he saying that? Well, because he waited 2 days so that more people would believe and the glory of God would be shown. And he was doing it even for their sake, because sometimes when you're right there in the situation, it's hard to believe. It's true. Now, you still need people at ground zero, guys. But, you know, how many people here have served in the military? I know we have some military people. Now, when you're in the military, you may not know this, but as Americans that are back here, it's super easy to believe in the armed forces, because we're not there. So it's even easy to pray for them because you're not there. Like, I've been to some of the places. I've worked with military many, many years of my life. My pastor's a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. I have a special soft place in my heart because of that. And we did ROTC, again, Marine. I tried to get our teens in our church to do ROTC. And they didn't seem to like the couple Marine DIs I had running it. They were throwing up and all kinds of stuff. I was like, what, you guys don't like? Anyway, what I'm saying is there is this thing that Jesus was doing where he's trying to lay down an order and he's trying to help the disciples and he's trying to say, I'm willing to do this so that you guys are going to believe and other people will believe and you won't be right up there in the action. You'll have an easier time to have faith. Me and my wife do this in our marriage where one of us, if one of the children is sick, one of us will stay at ground zero with the child and the other one will go and get their faith up and pray and stand and believe over here and then we'll shift. And that way, we always have somebody staying strong in their faith, and we're praying, and we're believing the right things. Not only that, but if you've ever tried to both you stay up all night and then take care of that kid the next day, who knows what they're eating? Like, you know, you're going to have no ice cream, a bunch of dirty spoons. So this is what I'm saying is he's telling them, listen, this is for your sake. I don't know if you've ever seen a pretty picture and then done this. It's not as pretty when you're close up. And sometimes you're just so close up to your problem, you have a hard time seeing the picture of God because you're so close to it, it looks terrible. You know, sometimes your problem is it's dead already. There's no hope for this thing. It's in the grave. This is the same way that they were. I better speed read if we're getting through this. And Thomas, we already know Thomas, full of faith Thomas. You remember that? There's sayings about Thomas. Wait a second. No, it was doubting Thomas. That's right. Who was called the twin. Luckily, they put the twin there because if you remember, this is down the road. Anyway, he said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go." I feel better about Thomas all of a sudden. This guy's loyal. He's got honor in him. You know, if honor's in you, it comes out. He's got it. I like that about Thomas. Let's keep reading. "So that we may die with him." I don't like him so much anymore. He lost a little bit of his, you know, a little bit of his edge there with the "let's." I don't mind the guy who's like, "Let's go with him no matter what." And then the guy who's like, "But we're going to go die." So that's why, like, you made it seem really convincing in the beginning. We were all with you. Courage raised up, and then you discouraged everybody. And he says this. "So Jesus came and he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days." This is 4 days done. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem. You may be wondering how he was there for 2 days, and then it was 4 days by the time Jesus got there. His car was out of gas and he had to walk. Back in those days, you didn't just go somewhere. You had to walk somewhere. You had to get on an animal and ride somewhere, and that wasn't as fast as you may think it was. If you've ever done this, I'll go on walks with my wife, and if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be doing it. But I'll go on walks, and I'll still with the guys. I'll go walk and talk just because that I'm really talking while I'm doing exercise, so then later I can tell my wife I walked. I did walking. This, if you've ever had to walk, I don't look like I'm built for walking. That's because I'm not. Big people normally take us out for about 6 miles. And in about 3 miles, you're going to find every excuse in the book. Like, "Ooh, I wore sandals today. There's blisters on my back from this walk. You know, we're going to do what happened before." And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha, and they were going to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, and Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And this is what's inside of, most of us aren't even as bold, is Martha. Martha, you know, big Martha. Most of us aren't even that. We probably know people. There's people in a lot of churches that are the big Martha, Martha, and you know because they'll say stuff and you're like, "Who are you? Come on." Like, I can tell you have a mouth on you, you know, and some of us are the go sit in the house and just wait on it like Mary, and some of us are the Martha, run out there and be like, "If you were here." This is still the way we feel when something we're wanting or believing or praying to God about doesn't show up, is we still feel like this. "If you were here, it wouldn't happen." We almost get frustrated when God's trying to show his glory to men. We take it personally, like he's doing it to us. Anyway, how dare you try and get the glory, God? That's not what she said, but this is where it's coming from. "He would not have died. But," and this is what goats do, if you don't know this, as a kid I learned there's a difference between sheep and goats. And the big difference is "but." So when you're talking to somebody and they go, "Yeah, but I thought that way too, but," every time they "but," it's take it like a goat. It is them doing that. They are. I see this in counseling all the time. I tell somebody, "This is the truth. This is what the Bible says." And they're like, "Yeah, I know, but." And then you're like, "Well, stop goading me around."
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's only one thing I like to do with goats. Make cheese and then eat you. So, like, which are you? Maybe go back to being a sheep, or we just cut the wool off you and you're still okay. Like, do you really want to butt? You want to keep butting? Nobody like. You ever seen the goat being pulled by a rope? And it just obeys everything, follows everything? No. It's akin to a donkey. A lot of us know this, where we say, like, we're stubborn. You know, we've had these conversations. "I'm stubborn." Like, that's not a good trait. Don't brag on yourself. You know, stubborn's not the one you want. Faithful, yes. Stubborn, no.
Right. Come on.
"I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." She's saying this. "But had you been here, he wouldn't have died." I'm just saying. "But I also know." And this is where the Christianese came out. First came out what I actually think. Second came out the Christianese. This is what Martha did. You don't know a Christian that does this. You see him sick like a dog, you say, "How are you?" "I'm healed." I kind of beg to differ. You look sick as a dog. Like, I'm just asking how you are. Like, there's Christians who have swallowed the pill of have a good confession so far, they become really good liars.
Yeah.
They don't know how to be honest about things. If I keep looking up there, I won't finish. "Whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.'" Man, that's just what Martha wants to hear, right? It's going to be okay. It's going to turn around. He'll rise again. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
Come on.
Still, I'm going to doubt it. I know my finances will be good when I'm in the city with the golden streets in heaven, but I was kind of hoping something might happen in them down here on the planet. That's what I was getting at, God. I'm sure you missed it. She's still doubting is what I'm saying. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, you probably heard this quoted many times. A lot of Christians learn this one because we use it, but not a lot of people believe in it. You know, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He didn't. I love that Jesus doesn't just say it. He says, do you believe it? Question mark. I love that. He's still trying to do that to us today, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, when I was born dead. That's why I believe people can get raised from the dead. You don't have to believe it. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't true. And you don't have to believe that, but you can sure enough go to Elmer's Hospital and find the records where I was dead, and I was sitting in a corner for 15 minutes before I started back to the life. I was stillborn, and they worked on me for quite a while, and then they covered me, put me over there, and tried to console my parents who were Christians and who were praying and who were believing, and somehow I started crying, and that's when they're like, uh-oh. If you work in a hospital, if you put the baby in a covered-up thing over there and you're done, and then it cries, you're thinking, Sandy did it. I wouldn't be here if he couldn't.
Yeah.
He can.
Amen.
She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went. She still didn't say, I believe he's coming back, did she? Mm-mm. She said, I believe in you. I believe you are. I believe God will do whatever you ask. But I believe he's coming back in the resurrection. He's done. That's the truth. She went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister. Now I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. We'll jump into 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's like I heard this before. You think God's heard the same thing you're crying out for before from somebody else? Yeah, he has. Yeah, he has. Yeah. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? This is the way real Christians need to act. This is still the way I am about stuff. I want to get to the heart. Where's the center of this thing? Show me where it's at. If we go to council, nothing against you, but I'm not so personable a person where I really wanted to sit there and talk. I want to find out what's the heart. What's the core of the problem? Let's find out what's really going on. I got some answers that are not mine. They're from God. So let's find out what they are. God will put it on there. It'll get fixed. Don't worry. It can be okay. And I spend a lot of time just trying to convince people, smile a little bit, have a better day. Being depressed stinks. Stop it. Be happy. You don't understand my situation. I understand them all. Jesus is still the answer.
That's right. That's it.
Then came the verse that every kid remembers and every kid quotes, and when you tell them to memorize a verse, is the one they all hunt for. Jesus wept, verse 35. That's the whole verse. So when you tell your kid to memorize a verse, they're like, Jesus wept. Everybody, smart alecks alike, will all raise their hand to that one. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, this is the Jews, this is the people that are around them, trying to comfort them and console them. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? They're all doing the same thing. Everybody there was in the same, we call it a pity party. They had balloons up and streamers and everything. It was a whole pity party going on about what could have and should have and maybe in their eyes should not have happened. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And it was a cave and a stone that lay against it. And Jesus said, this is the way the tombs were in those days. Again, like I said, to keep people from robbing and taking things out of the tomb. And in those days, again, the Jewish people weren't the mummifiers, everybody. They were not the embalmers and the dual. They would just wrap you up. They would spice you up. They would make you smell the best they could because bodies don't smell good after they die. Doesn't take them long. It doesn't take them long at all. Jesus said, take away this stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he is dead for 4 days. Like Jesus didn't already know that. This was past information. I'm saying that because your situation may stink. Your relationship may stink. Your financial picture may stink. A portfolio, if you will, may stink. Your future may look like it may stink. Your past may definitely stink. Your things you're praying about may stink, and it may stink to pray about them. But God can clean that thing up, and God can do what no man can do. And if you have God on your side, it's not a joke that all things are possible, guys. They really are.
Yes. Yes.
We're supposed to have this confidence in our God. And Jesus said to her, did I not say, listen, guys, you don't want God having to say that to you. If he goes, hey, did I not say, that's like a parent saying that to their kid. Hey, That's the way, if my kids hear me say, hey, like that, they already know, I don't know what it was, but it's not good. Whatever's going to happen isn't good. Like, we're about to do this, and we're going to do more stuff. I already know how this works. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He's trying to, again, it's the same way with the disciples. He's dead. I tried telling you he's sleeping. I tried making it, you know, softer for you, and here you're making me say he's dead. Lazarus is dead. You would see the glory of God. Then I took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And this is important because Jesus, God, is beyond and outside of time. It's hard for people that are in time to recognize what this means, but it means that he was before, which is why he described himself to Moses as the what I am that I am, meaning I am in every moment. I am today. I am yesterday. I am at the end as well. I am always I am. I am always right here. I am always right now. This is the way God is. So he's trying to express to them, thank you, Father. And he says this to everybody on purpose. He even explains, I'm saying this for everybody here on purpose, that you have heard me. Not now. Have is a past tense situation, not a present tense situation. He's saying, you have heard me. When have you heard me? Back when Mary, when she was anointing my feet, do you remember when she was at my feet with the oil? I went and interceded for this situation in her life. I had already went to God about this. Thank you that you have heard me. You have heard me. You see, Jesus didn't come to the fight without praying himself and going to God and hearing what God was saying. He wouldn't be there if he didn't know this is the will of God. This is just to all the Christians out there trying to faith in the Ferrari. If it's not the will of God, good luck faithing the thing in, because faith works for the things that are God's will. Another way to say that is you cannot invoke the power of God unless you know the will of God is there. If it's not the will of God, good luck. You might know the name of God, but you can't invoke the power of God on that thing without it being his will. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this. Jesus is saying this. If you're one of the people, you got to be like, but they're so like this, they don't even catch that. Like, they wrote it down. Because of these people, God, I'm saying this. Like, they don't even know that I've done this before. This is for, you know, we're some of these people thousands of years later that are like, oh, wait, what's that? He prayed before? He went, I thought you only pray when you're there. You know, when we went to the hospital to visit you, do you think the first time we prayed was when I was at your bedside? No. We prayed when I got the news. I didn't even need to go to the hospital. That was just because of courtesy. You know, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't have went. But I cared about you. I went and I showed up. But I didn't need to. God didn't need me to be there in person to do something. He's God. He's not proximity based. If you don't know how prayer works, it doesn't work like, open the windows, I got to pray that way. Sarah's sick. I'm just helping the people that don't know, if you don't know. Because of the people that are standing by me, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now he had said these things, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot, in grave clothes. He didn't walk out. It doesn't say walked out. It said came out. If you were bound, hand and foot, in grave clothes, even your face is wrapped up with cloth. This guy is waddling out at best. Like, seriously, guys, who tied the leg part, you know? You did it good. And Jesus says to him, loose him and let him go. This is still awesome to me because God did a miracle. He's alive. Yet still he wanted them to undo some of the stuff that they had done to him. Like, you go take the bandages off. You ever find yourself as a Christian having to take some words you said back? Having to do some of the natural stuff you did, but you did it in the spiritual way. You probably even prayed. But you did a natural, totally natural, based on natural laws type thing. I don't know if God can even do this. Guys, he can do anything.
Yes, he can.
He can fix things. He can go back and make your path straight. Name something else that can do that. There's no amount of counseling that can go make your past straighten up. But God can somehow. He can go fix things that you've already done.
Yeah.
Never, not go back and erase them like you never did it. He can go fix the things that you've had in your past. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. He's telling them, unwrap him, set him loose. Why am I saying that? Because God will do miracles for you guys.
Amen.
He might show up in your finances, but he's not trying to. You ever seen money float down the street? If you have, tell me where.
Yeah.
I'm about to buy some property and put up a little box. You know, you ever seen money coming off of a tree? It might be printed from trees, but I've never seen it falling off of them. Unless some bill got lost and got stuck in one. People don't just, money doesn't just come like that. The Bible says God gave you the power to make wealth. Go out and make some. Well, I don't know about that. Like, men shall give in your hand. Like, yeah. And maybe you might put some hours in to get that, because the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went and hired workers. You're going to go be a worker? You have to do something, is what I'm saying. He's going to give you the miracle, the part you can't do. But he's going to still have you go and do some work if you want. He came out alive, but he wasn't free yet. And God may give you something that's a live wire, but if you want it to be free, you're going to have to do something. Me? Yeah, you. You're going to have to do something. Use your hands. Get to work. Don't be lazy. You know, get some discipline going. Act. You want to see a response? Act. You won't even like the parts if I start preaching about how God says, knock, and then it's going to be open. Or he says, ask, and then you're going to get an answer. If he says, seek, and then you're going to find. And then if you really read that, you're going to find that it's a continuous action verb that means knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and then you're going to find, and then you're going to hear, and then you don't want to hear about how God's reactive, that if you'll do something in faith, he'll respond to that faith. Even revival. How many people have heard the word revival? We need revival. Do you know what revival is? Do you know what it is? It's God's response to man's hunger. God's responsive. He'll act and move the moment you will take a step, take an action, believe in faith. God can do it. He will do it. Get it in your head. Get it in your spirit. He can. Whatever your terrible situation is, the things you've been facing and battling, the things you have a hard time getting faith for, the things that you're hoping for. You know, I was a lost cause for my parents and they didn't quit on me. Maybe you're trying not to quit on one of your kids. Maybe you're one of the kids that you're trying to not quit on yourself. God can do things that no man can do. He can redeem things that no man can redeem, and he does not quit on you, even if you're in the grave 4 days. Amen? Well, let's pray.